It's not too late to have your say about Canada's new international policy statement. The IPS, as it's called by bureaucrats and the authors of briefs, was tabled in Parliament on April 19th this year. It's the first time that Canada has laid out a whole-of-government approach that involves not just diplomacy, but also defense, development, and international commerce. The statement builds on initiatives already taken by the government to increase Canadian aid, but it doesn't commit to a timetable for reaching the 0.7% target, despite a unanimous vote in the House of Commons in favor of reaching a 0.7% by 2015. It does focus on reducing poverty, but only in a select number of countries, with special priority given to failed and fragile states. The statement underscores the central importance of multilateralism to a more equitable and peaceful world. Canada will continue to build international consensus for the responsibility to protect civilian populations in crisis zones around the world, a United Nations initiative in which Canada played a decisive role. The Prime Minister, in his introduction to the IPS, has broadened this notion of responsibility to five complementary responsibilities: to respect the fundamental rights of all people, to deny terrorists the means of attacking innocent civilians, to improve the lives of the poor, and to ensure sustainable development for future generations. Finally, the IPS commits Canadian taxpayers to invest human and financial resources for the Canadian forces. The Commons Standing Committee on Foreign Affairs and International Trade began public hearings on the International Policy Statement in April 2005 and has been holding additional hearings across Canada during this fall's 2005 parliamentary session. A 14-page online consultation is available. Just Google Canadian International Policy Statement on the Canadian pages and look for the online consultation. It has both multiple answer questions and space for a free comment. If you want to attend hearings at a regional center such as Vancouver on December 5th and 6th or Calgary on the 7th, go get a pencil and I'll give you an address and some phone numbers you can contact for more information at the end of this report. Really, it's not too late. David Berkesson is a member of the Government's Advisory Council on National Security and director of the Center for Military and Strategic Studies at the University of Calgary. He edited the brief of the Canadian Defense and Foreign Affairs Institute to the Commons Committee, praising the IPS because it frankly acknowledges the importance of pursuing Canada's national interests. The Canadian Council for International Cooperation, a coalition group of about 100 non-governmental organizations, makes the same observation, but in a different tone. Their brief says that the IPS sees Canada's, quote, obligation to address global poverty as subsidiary and instrumental to the pursuit of Canada's particular interests in promoting its own prosperity, reducing threats of global terrorism, and responding to regional insecurity. Clearly, the CCIC disapproves. Although Berkesson believes he occasionally hears, quote, echoes of the rampant soft power idealism unsupported either by hard assets or hard thinking that marked Canadian international policy in the mid to late 90s, end quote, nevertheless, he argues that the four departments, Commerce, Defense, CETA, Foreign Affairs and International Trade, and indeed all cabinet ministers which are the focus of the International Policy Statement, must present a clear, coherent, and unified signal to Canadians that they must, quote, grow up, unquote, about Canadian international policy. Berkesson believes that failure to follow through on promises to increase Canadian forces funding could eventually prove to be the greatest impediment to the entire defense section of the International Policy Statement. Berkesson also believes that Canada must entertain the possibility that the problem of failed and failing states may not be the greatest challenge to our interests or our values in the long run. State-to-state war may be taking an international breather, he says, but it remains a significant possibility in the longer run. Berkeson also believes that the government should recognize that our most powerful and important partner, the United States, sees some of the recent multilateral efforts that Canada has participated in as little more than thinly veiled efforts to constrain American action. Canada must, therefore, strive in its multilateral initiatives to always work quietly to bring the Americans on side. One of the best ways of doing that is by helping to reform now moribund institutions such as the UN General Assembly and UN Security Council, or to create new ones. End of quote. Berkeson says that Canada should find a way to sign back on to ballistic missile defense. For its part, the CCIC has proposed putting poverty eradication and human rights at the center of Canada's foreign policy. Kairos, the ecumenical church group, puts a finer point on it, saying that, quote, there is no recognition of the primacy of Canada's human rights obligations in the IPS, end quote. The Kairos brief explains, quote, the UN Charter, Article 103, clearly states that if a conflict arises between a state's obligations to the Charter and any other international agreement, obligations under the UN Charter must prevail. Moreover, at the World Conference on Human Rights in Vienna in 1993, over 170 governments reaffirmed that the protection and promotion of human rights was the primary responsibility of governments. As a signatory, Canada is obliged to promote and respect human rights first and foremost and ensure that its trading partners do as well. End quote. Kairos concludes that, quote, we cannot support trade regimes whose effects compromise human security, well-being, and the self-determination of peoples, end quote. CCIC criticizes the international policy statement for failing to put global justice issues at the center of the government's international agenda. As noted by the Canadian Peacebuilding Coordinating Committee, it lacks a strategic analysis of global issues in which to situate Canada's strengths and weaknesses in contributing to progress. It fails to acknowledge and build upon the government's fundamental obligations to international human rights law. Nowhere is there a sufficiently clear commitment to work with the international community through the United Nations. Kairos also challenges the sunny assessment in the IPS that, quote, the dispute settlement provisions of NAFTA itself have generally worked well, end quote. On the contrary, the Kairos brief continues, the recent U.S. decision to ignore the NAFTA Extraordinary Challenge Panel's ruling on softwood lumber demonstrates one of NAFTA's fundamental flaws. By entering into the FTA and NAFTA, Canada was supposed to gain secure access to the U.S. market in the face of arbitrary U.S. actions, such as the imposition of countervailing duties on lumber exports. Another fundamental flaw involves Chapter 11 on investment that facilitates national treatment for foreign corporations at the expense of domestic industries. Chapter 11's investor state mechanism has enabled foreign corporations to sue Canadian, Mexican, and U.S. governments over health, environmental, and other regulations. Another grave problem is the NAFTA obligation that would require Canada, but not Mexico, to continue exporting non-renewable petroleum and natural gas to the U.S., even if such exports cause domestic shortages. The most disappointing feature of the IPS, according to Kairos, is its overall commitment to the neoliberal free trade economic model as the preferred path to economic prosperity, development, and democracy. The goals of global justice, promoting Canada's international human rights obligations, and the eradication of poverty are relegated to the margins of the IPS. And here's that address. You can write to Andrew Bartholomew Chaplin, C-H-A-P-L-I-N, Clerk of the Committee, Room 637, 180 Wellington Street, House of Commons, Ottawa, Ontario, K1A-086. You can telephone area code 613 996-1540. You can fax area code 613-996-1962. And you can email faae@parl.gc.ca. That's it for this Monday. This feature draws on material from the Government of Canada, the Canadian Council on International Cooperation, the Canadian Defense and Foreign Affairs Institute, Kairos, and the North-South Institute. If you'd like to suggest a story or comment about anything you hear on World Report, email Earthling, that's EARTHLING, at netidea.com. Put World Report in the subject line to make sure I don't mistake your message for spam. I'm Jim Terrell at Kootenai Co-op Radio. Thanks for listening.